Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Pog State for episode 11. As you can see, we are back at LOL Park. We have been freed from the confines of the remote broadcast, and we are now coming at you live. Well, not live, pre-recorded.
We're live right now, though.
Yeah, we're live now.
Yeah.
Now in this guys, moment, though. But not for you guys in your moment. Thank you very much, Valdez.
Yeah, I just wanted to clarify that.
Yeah, I should clarify why Valdez is actually here. LS, unfortunately, has a little bit of a landlord issue. So needs to make sure that he can stay in his house. It was a sort of surprise visit from the landlord on today, the day of today's filming. We were unable to reschedule, unfortunately. And therefore, we do have a beautiful substitution, which is the wonderful Valdanalyst himself.
Wow.
We also have a special guest coming very soon. Probably was in the title of this video, but as of now, I'm going to keep it a little bit of a secret. Make sure, guys, that if you want to get your podcast via audio, we are available on Apple Podcasts as well as Spotify, a whole bunch of other things, and that will be available on our Twitter. There's a fly.
Oh, man. that was part of the thing. I'm like,
get to LOL Park. We're back in nature, you know?
Oh, outside of our houses.
Isn't it beautiful to be in the real world?
Feels good. Maybe they're attracted to all the flowers on our shirts.
They're trying to pollinate.
You actually have trees on your shirt. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, so do you. Some of your trees are upside down.
Wow.
Yeah. and hula people.
It's really summer. Fun. It's officially summer with these outfits.
Amazing stuff. Anyway, back to plugging. You can also catch this on YouTube, which is likely where you're going to be watching. But if it isn't, if you want to see the version that does have some video available, that will be available on YouTube as well. Anything else? I don't think so, unless you want to follow us on Twitter. So at Pogstate, that's where you can get all of the information. All of the stuff that I just said was redundant if you just go to our Twitter and check out our pinned tweet. So no worries there at all. Disclaimer time, Valdez. I don't know whether you remember the disclaimer from last time, but this does not represent the opinions or thoughts of Riot Korea. This is all coming out of the mind tank of our collective commentator brains, which is something that they don't want to have any part in, and I do not blame them whatsoever. And with that being said, Valdez, how's things been doing, man? It's exciting having you back on the show.
Yeah, it's good to be back. I always really enjoy doing these kinds of podcasts and interviews and content-related stuff. So happy to be back doing something that's not just casting. There's not too much going on in the world right now with everybody kind of having to mostly quarantine. I don't know about you, but I don't really go outside too much trying to avoid people. stay close to my computer, and you know, unfortunately I have to meet you every so often, but
I apologize,
like,
for that.
Today. But yeah, no, it's been pretty normal. I think Korea is handling it pretty well, and generally, you know, everybody's wearing masks and social distancing and everything's going well there, so yeah, seems, you know, pretty normal, just like the last time I was here.
Yeah, I'm doing my best to try not to get too used to it, you know, because sometimes you can get jaded and it's like, I've been wearing a mask for 2 months. Obviously, I've worn enough mask now. Yeah. You know, that's straight up not how that works, actually. You just need to keep staying vigilant as much as possible. Mm-hmm. And that is much easier if you're a massive nerd like the two of us, you know, because we can happily stay home, never leave the house, and travel through beautiful worlds of Warcraft, Runeterra, all sorts of different places that we can go virtually without needing to go anywhere near another human being, which is very, very useful. Our partners might have a different thing to say about that particular way of living, but we can use the excuse now. Oh, we're just staying safe. Yeah.
Very safe. Mm-hmm. That's all I had to add.
All right, good. I do want to talk a little bit about sort of your casting over the last little while, because you have been delving into the life of the Valdanalyst. How has it been sort of like juggling multiple roles? Because when we cast together, I just stick to my guns. I'm staying play-by-play the whole way through, super lazy style, whereas you have to completely readjust to being the analyst. How's that been?
Yeah, well, it's confusing, actually, when you do something for a really long time, you know, like 4 or 5 years or so. I've been, like, mainly just play-by-play. When we're casting, some, like, replay will start, I don't know if you noticed this, but like right in the beginning of every cast, like the first replay will come up and I'll just like sit there and not say anything because it's like I'm waiting for the analyst to say something because this is not my time to speak. You know, it's kind of just the way the flow of the cast usually goes. And then about 5 seconds of silence come in and I'm like, oh yeah, this is my, I have to say something now that, you know, Atlas just did the play-by-play.
Yeah.
Even though I just heard you did it, it's like, it still doesn't click until that first replay comes in. I'm like, oh yeah, I'm the analyst today.
Yep. Here we go.
It's definitely challenging. I mean, you have to pay attention a lot more to the intricacies of, you know, the draft and the players and the teams. I had to do a lot of brushing up on stuff in terms of like game knowledge. It's a totally different style of casting with the, you know, what an analyst brings compared to a play-by-play. Normally we're just the hosts, you know, saying, hey, welcome to the show. This is really exciting. Wow, cool. And then the other guy says all the smart stuff normally. But now it's like, oh, the pressure's on you to like come up with an interesting, smart idea. When in the past, you know, as a play-by-play, sometimes you can just kind of get in the rhythm of just passing it off, you know, after doing some play-by-play or, you know, after reiterating the current situation in the game and just being, you know, handing over to LS where he's like, oh, he's building Morelos and this is why I hate it. And, you know, I can't believe he's going Black Cleaver again on set. You know, how is this even possible?
Yeah.
But then when you're in the driver's seat and LS's seat, you're like, oh man, I have to, you know, look at all the item builds very closely, more closely than I normally do. So it's challenging, but it's fun to do something different.
Yeah.
The
way I sort of think about it isn't necessarily like your game knowledge is being brought to the fore, but like a little bit more the fact that you have the burden of opinion on the broadcast. And you have to like, I find myself like if I'm in a sort of more analytical mindset, I do like twice the research, not because I don't think I know enough, but because I'm scared that I'm going to say something wrong.
Yeah.
Whereas as a play-by-play, we're completely protected because we have absolutely no opinion that's necessary, right? We just say like, oh, but this could be this. Do you think that is this? And the analyst, whether it be LS now or Papa Smithy in the past, would be like, no, that's dumb. This is how it is. But I'm still patting my own back, right? Because I've posed a question that was like relevant to what people might have been thinking, right?
Yeah.
And that's our job. Whereas when you have to be the guy that identifies these particular moments and you drop the knowledge bombs, like, that's hard, man. That's real tough. But I think you've been doing a good job. I've enjoyed having the Vald analyst next to me on the broadcast.
Yeah, and it's not all about, you know, it's not like we don't have the right opinions or we don't understand the game or whatever.
It's just
that we don't have the burden to, like, speak it out a lot of the time. We just, like, kind of direct the flow of traffic and then go on our way a lot of the time during the cast. So
yeah, and also we're not used to it. We're not used to being the opinionated ones on a broadcast. And I think that it's a different mindset and sort of a different skill set to sort of truly believe in your ideas. And it's like, I'm right, everybody else is wrong, you know, like, which is, it's a very extreme way of explaining what an analyst's job is, but that is largely what you have to do because you have to truly believe in what you think about in this moment. And you frame the game around that. There's sort of a, it's a big burden. And there are some people that love it. And there's some people that really don't. And that is analysts and play-by-plays.
Yeah. You spend 5 years trying to not be too opinionated.
Yeah.
To allow your analyst to be the one that comes in with the big hitting opinions.
Yeah.
And then it's like, wait, now it's your turn. You know, what do you have to say? And it's like, well, I haven't been, you know, speaking out about my opinion for 5 years. And now you want to hear it? It's like, it's definitely a weird mix-up in your brain when you sit in the different chair and put on the beige jacket. It's like, whoa, this is not what I'm used to.
Did you feel the opinions coming out?
Yeah,
you had the right colored jacket
pushing into my body from the jacket and from the chair too.
Yeah, I was oppressed by my blue jacket. It was just stifling all of my opinions. You know,
just like takes them and reflects them out, like out of your mouth.
Well, if we had Hawaiian jackets.
True.
Our opinions will be everywhere because I'm feeling completely free to state my opinion now. Speaking of opinions, what was your opinion on our most recent parody show that we were actually a part of this time? We didn't get to do LCK Castle, unfortunately, weren't part of that one. But this time around, we got our little moment in the sun. You had your amazing Valchamp moment.
Yeah. that was the best part.
It was, actually, just the highlight of the whole thing.
The acting part was really short. and we basically had one line to say. It was in Korean, so it was a little bit more challenging. But yeah, it was cool. I wish we could be involved in more stuff like that. And I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but like, you know, we're casters for now, but like, what about in the future? Like, how are we going to use our skill sets to potentially do something else? Because I don't know if the young Zoomers want to watch the 60-year-old on the mic talking about the children's video game, you know? Just thoughts. Maybe they will. Maybe things are going to change in esports.
I mean, if you think about it, in most other sports, it is a lot of, you know, early 20-year-olds running around with a ball or something like that on a field. And there are a bunch of 60-year-olds talking about it.
But usually they played the game for, you know, their entire life, and they're like former pro gamers.
But you see, we can play the game for our entire life because all we need are our hands.
Well, eventually they stop working as well as they used to. I guess Iron League will eventually count if we're 60-year-olds. But yeah, I mean, just when we do content like that, it makes me think like, I wonder if, you know, maybe someday we can do like commercials or like, you know, acting or like some other weird stuff, you know, not that we're actually seriously considering it, but doing like all sorts of different camera work and content just makes you think about that kind of thing and gets you kind of out of the grind of just like showing up every day, casting, leaving, showing up every day, casting, leaving. It's like, oh, now we're doing something totally new and interesting. And, you know, can we do a good job on this new kind of content that we've never really done? It's exciting. I want to do more.
I think the next step for us is to do the next show as women, because Cloud Templar got
it's
to
not
do
fair.
It. Yeah,
Bitdory
got
twice.
To do it. Yeah. It's not fair. It's not fair at all. So next time we're going to need the wigs. We're going to need the makeup.
Yeah.
And we're going to need to freak some people out. I actually had because of course for a lot of our North American viewers, it's very early in the morning, just before people might be going to sleep, things like that. A couple of weird messages from people saying, this is scaring me.
What's going on?
I don't know what's going on. I don't understand. Why is he telling me not to touch the Baron? I need to go to sleep. that's going to be our goal for next time, hopefully for the third episode of the LCK drama. We can also... get a bit of cross-dressing happening, because that does sound interesting. Moving forward, there was a bit of feedback. I know you weren't here for the Atlas news.
Yes.
There was a bit of feedback. I had some personal feedback to myself, which was learn how to say your name correctly.
Altus.
And maybe don't read off the script quite as much. Things like that. There were some ups and downs. It was also way too long. So we're going to try it again. But hopefully this time, it's going to be a little bit more punchy. I'm going to make a little bit more sense. And maybe I'm going to, you know, look a little bit more professional as well. So I guess Future Max has control of that one.
Good luck.
Yeah, indeed. Good luck, Future Max. Hope you nail it. And actually, in fact, take it away. Appropriate time-based greetings, summoners. I am Atlas once again, and this is once again LCK News. After 3 weeks of competition, LCK Summer has settled back to the East and West style that we have all come to know. That being said, it's the order of our top five which comes as a surprise. As of the end of week three, DRX remain undefeated with what seems like one remaining challenge before they claim that undefeated round one, and that team is Damwon Gaming. They currently have a firm hold of second place, showing dominance behind their very confident rank 1 mid laner Showmaker and their playmaking support Beryl, who currently leads player of the game standings alongside BDD on 500 points. Third place was recently snatched away from Gen.G and T1 as Afrika toppled KT Rolster and shot up 3 places, claiming that the Elite 4 are no longer and that there are 5 top dogs in the LCK. That brings us to those top two teams from spring, who are currently tied for fourth, just above Team Dynamics. Fans of Gen.G and T1 are worried due to some poor performances and drafting, but when dealing with two multi-time world championship teams, it's hard to count them out just yet. We'll end on some good news from the east side of the bracket, with Sandbox recently picking up their first win, and over Team Dynamics. Dynamics 2-0'd the LCK squad back in the promotion tournament, and were poised to take outright third place when Yamato Cannon took to the stage for his debut game and put them in their place, which is sixth. Some eyebrows were raised for some of the drafts in that series, but a win's a win, and Sandbox players look reinvigorated under their new Swedish coach. Now we'll end today's news with Pjosik of DRX showing how multi-talented the new rookie of DRX truly is with some Blind Monk interpretive dance.
Yeah! Dong! Hikul! Begone! Sure!
Wonderful. And that will be all for today's LCK news. Back to you, Atlas. Thank you very much, Atlas, for LCK news. That was fantastic, apart from, you know, that one bit and that other bit. So make sure you, you know, think about those.
Thank you
for that little walk into the future. As Valdez, also great to talk to you about how things have been going in the LCK. But for now, we are going to move you and we're going to get into our interview with good old Ashley Kang. So, Valdez, but welcome, Ashley. Valdez, you moved away very, very quickly there.
Wow.
Always very scared of violence. But Ashley, thank you for saving the Pog State and maybe even saving the Pog State for today's episode as well. It is it's glorious to have you on. How have you been?
Yeah, been doing pretty well. So as we are recording, we are at Sunday.
Yes, we are.
Which is the last day of the LCK.
Mm-hmm.
So been coming to Law Park every day and I'm excited for my fifth day of the LCK.
For the third week, right? We're like getting towards the end of this round one. It's just ridiculous. Time does fly when you are having fun. Ashley, if you could just introduce yourself for those that may not know who you are. If you are anywhere in touch with esports of any kind as far as the LCK is concerned, you probably know who Ashley is. But for those of you who do not, could you just tell us a little bit about yourself?
Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome.
Yeah. So my name is Ashley Kang. I am one of the resident on-site journalists here at the LCK, and also I'm a bilingual. So my job is usually to create content about the LCK, but usually towards the Western audience. So the content I produce are usually video interviews or just videos or even text interviews, and I tend to try to subtitle them or, you know, translate them into English so the Western viewers can enjoy them. And I guess my primary goal is LCK is a really amazing scene, so how do I bring it to the global audience whose language happens to be primarily English?
And it has been really valuable having you here. I know a lot of you guys at home have seen many, many of these interviews go past, whether it be on Reddit or on Twitter, things like that. Valdez, you and I like get a lot of our information from from Ashley's interviews, because our Korean, not so good. Yours, better than mine. Mine, basically non-existent. I am going to school, but I haven't been going for a school.
Someday.
Yeah.
Atlas in 5 years will be fluent in Korean.
Yep, you just wait. You just
future
wait.
Atlas. Looking forward to it.
Hey, I'm a few years behind you when it comes to like being in Korea,
true.
Okay? That being said, not actually behind Ashley when it comes to being in Korea. Ash, you arrived, what was it, like 2 years ago? I think I'd been in Korea about 7 months or something like that.
I think so. I'm closing up on my 2 years because I think I landed in Korea July or the beginning of August, something like that, in 2018. So almost on 2 years at this point.
Because I remember when you arrived and we went out to dinner. I think Papa was there.
Mm-hmm.
Don't remember whether you were there, Valdez.
No, he
was. I'm not sure.
Maybe it was
not.
Achilles.
No.
Yeah,
you
and
Papa Smithy.
I met Ashley in Busan, actually.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes.
Isn't that the first time we met? I think it was. You were with someone. Maybe it was Papa. I'm not sure.
Oh, so
we
was
went
that
to
for
dinner.
The
finals?
Yeah,
yes.
We went down. Yeah. Mm. That's where I first met Ashley.
2018 spring final. Oh, yeah. 2018 spring finals?
I think it was spring final
yeah.
in Busan. And then 2018 summer final was Griffin versus KT scores first victory, right?
Yeah. So to
beautiful
clarify
final.
The timeline, I actually visited Korea during the playoffs of spring split.
Okay.
And at that time, I had a full-time job back in New Zealand, which is where I originally come from as a programmer. So I took about 3 weeks paid leave to visit South Korea and South Korean League of Legos.
Mm-hmm.
And that involved covering the playoffs and finals, which happened to be... Was it Longzhou Gaming back then? Longzhou Gaming versus Africa Freaks.
Yeah.
And then I met you and Papa and also Valdis at Busan. And when I tried it, I really liked what I was seeing. So I went back to New Zealand and quit my job and decided to come back, which was July.
Yeah.
So that's where the timelines align.
Ah, got it. Because it's sort of like, it seemed to me like you came to Korea and you said, you know, I've still got my programming job and everything's fine. And then like, poof, a year goes by and it's like, Ashley, are you still like working in New Zealand or what's happening here? And you know, like, I think you've still got like an ANZ credit card. Oh, like, when's that going to go?
I cancelled it.
Ah,
a month ago, finally.
Okay.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah.
There
I was using my New Zealand credit card for some time.
Yeah. But it did certainly feel a little bit like you were here as a trial run, and then the trial run just continued, and you never went home. And I wasn't actually aware of the exact point where you quit your job, but I assumed it happened because you weren't really doing, you know, your programming job anymore, and you were here pretty exclusively for Corizon, which is the company that you run. Do you want to talk to us about, you know, what Corizon is and why it isn't just Ashley Kang? Or
So it began as something that Ashley Kang had created. I just thought that there should be an outlet, not just my own personal voice speaking, because I imagined Corizon becoming something bigger that represents almost as a bridge between the South Korean esports scene to, again, the Western audience. Mm-hmm. And in the beginning, it was me. The team has now grown slightly bigger. I still mainly manage the YouTube channel. So I do most things such as deciding which interviews go up there, editing, subtitling, etc. But right now we have branched off to Vietnam and we currently have a big presence in Facebook, which is the biggest form of social media.
All right, cool.
In Vietnam, yeah. So, yeah.
So Corizon sort of allows for more expansion of the Ashley Kang brand, that sort of thing. So for in the future, like if you realize that staying up until 7 a.m. every night translating is not that healthy for you.
Yeah. Let's say that there is another amazing personality that wants to exclusively cover LCS. That person goes under Corizon, but let's say that person is, I don't know, Mary Sue. Mary Sue of Corizon Esports. That's another personality that goes under the Corizon umbrella.
And then that way you don't need to cover the LCS quite as much. Because I know that you've been doing interviews outside of the LCK as well. So like you interviewed Jankos, I believe, like a week or two ago or something like that. Like certainly Ashley Kang likes to make sure that, you know, she gets all of the information about all of the esports. I don't know. Like, I struggle to keep up with the other regions, right? There's like a bajillion LPL games going on. There's like, you know, a whole bunch of LEC games. Then LCS starts immediately afterwards. And then we start work like 3 hours later, you know, like,
yeah,
it's pretty ludicrous. That's why I'm sort of glad that LS is taking a bit of time off. You know, he's got this Saturday, Sunday, and then Monday, Tuesday where he can possibly find some rest. I think he's looking for a dog on Monday as well, which is absolutely adorable. Yep. Not sure. Yeah, I'm not sure whether that is. I assume he's spoken about it on his stream at length. He doesn't have too many secrets, but
yeah, yes,
yep. But looking for that really cute puppy. I don't know why I derailed this with puppies, but I guess Ian can
always
have some
worth.
Fun. Yeah. Not entirely
just make the
sure.
Clouds fly by, the cloud puppies.
Yeah. So I guess that being able to, just to go back to the topic we were talking about, instead of Ellis's dog that he's going to be hopefully buying, having to have an interview is insane for buying a dog, by the way. But again, back to the topic. Have you been keeping up with like every region, or has it been mainly focusing on LCK and then when you get a chance, then you research a specific player for an interview outside of Korea?
So coming into the summer split, I decided that I could cover one other league other than the LCK. In the spring, it was LCS. There were some active conversation between me and the Riot Central as well as some of the teams there. And they were really welcoming. Hey, so why don't you do some remote interviews? Because this was the time when all the leagues were going online. And
yeah,
even many journalists were doing remote interviews. And at the onset of that, we were like, oh yeah, it doesn't matter that if she's based in South Korea, as long as she can do remote interviews. So I was covering the LCS on top of the LCK during that time. I can remember a few interviews that I was happy with. Bjergsen, perhaps. Mm-hmm. I did Double Lift quite recently, as well as Cole JJ. Always happy to talk to Cole JJ and get the Korean, the story of the Korean players in the NA out, because maybe they don't get as many interview opportunities, because if someone is only fluent in English, they might be a bit more hesitant to talk to
There's
someone.
Also the fact that I imagine you'd be able to get a bit more out of them, because speaking in your native language is so much more comfortable, and it's so much easier to articulate exactly what you mean. I imagine like Core JJ, although he's such an outgoing guy and is such a great figure in the LCS, does do interviews in English, of course. But him being able to articulate in his native language probably gets so much more out of him.
Yeah, of course.
Is that what you sort of found?
Yeah, I would say that is the case. And that's why an interviewer may be more preferable to talk to first.
Yeah.
Like, you know, someone who speaks English as a first language, not because they do not love that other personality, but they want to talk to someone who can they can get more information out of. So it was really happy experience for me to talk to the likes of Impact, Core JJ, Ignar, Ruin, Huni. So I was pretty happy with that. But yeah, this split, I decided to transition into LEC. I think there are already a lot of great content creators on site, well, on site at the current situation. In the NALCS. But this year there has been a slight decrease to the coverage of LEC, not on the broadcast, but more to do with like the third party journalists. So I was like, okay, so I better supply where there is a demand.
It is all about supply and demand in the end. That's absolutely true. And one thing I just thought of, actually, this is something that's just occurred to me, is have you sort of now come to understand that maybe your skill set can be used the other way around, and used in order to bring the LEC to maybe the Korean fans as well? I know that you've been slowly but surely getting more and more sort of famous over here in Korea when it comes to Koreans, and so interviews with Bjergsen, with Jankos, things like that, have you found that there's been added value in bringing an interview that's you're conducting in English and then translating it back to Korean for the Korean fans?
Yeah, of course. That's something that I've been doing since spring split. And even this split, notably G2 is quite popular even in Korea for beating up a lot of Korean teams in the last 24 months. But, you know, I had a good interview with Perks, who did get a bit of fame in Korea due to his LCK Summer Split Finals interview where he said, he wanted SKT / T1 to win, because that means that he can beat up Gil. Beat up T1 a bit more in an international stage. So I did an interview with Perks and maybe brought up some of the subjects the Koreans might be interested in, such as, you know, the relationship with T1, the ongoing rivalry, and it actually had great traction in Korea once it was translated. I think the out of 110K total viewership,
damn, that's pretty
15%
good.
Was Korean, and a lot of the comments were. And they really touched me because they said, hey, before this, I just thought that Perks was a good player who was maybe a bit of a trash talker. But now that I have watched this interview and understand his motivation and his desire and his goals, I realized that he's just another player that wants to win, and I can't really hate him anymore. So when I read that comment, I feel like I'm doing something right.
Helping dispel some of the alienation that happens when there's the language barrier between our two regions. And it's cool that it works in both ways, right? When, you know, your goal here was to bring the LCK to the Western audience, and you've realized also that you can bring the rest of esports to, you know, the Eastern audience. I guess the next thing is to find someone that speaks Chinese and bring the LPL over here and bring the LPL to everyone else, because I mean, that's also a difficult one to there's not a lot of journalists that have been able to successfully, you know, bring all of the nuances of the LPL, because it's so difficult to get stuff out of China. So especially now, you know, with everyone not being able to get anywhere. So maybe that's the next step. What do you reckon, Valdez? You're going to be the new LPL journalist?
Me?
How's your Chinese?
I have studied a little bit of Chinese in my in my time. I'm not very good at it, but
you've been to China a few times, right?
Yeah, a bunch of times. Yeah, it's It's very interesting. It's a cool experience every time I go. It's very different from anywhere else I've really been in mm-hmm. the world. So I like it compared to other places because it's something new, right? And unfortunately, I haven't had much chance to really interact with like the LPL and like go over there and go to the arenas and stuff like that. So maybe in the future, that would be my goal.
Yeah, well, we might have to think about it in a pretty close future because that's apparently where the World Championships are happening. No, mm-hmm. no word about whether that's going to or not. Of course, in the current climate, it's very difficult to tell what's going to be happening. I imagine you're desperate to cover it as well, Ashley. I mean, it's so weird. We're on the same landmass, right? But it still feels like it's so incredibly difficult to potentially get to China if it does happen. So we'll just have to see whether that is going to be a thing. I want to sort of bring this back to the LCK. It's really cool hearing your story, Ashley, but I know that you know you guys at home are listening largely to hear about what Ashley thinks about the LCK. Do you think that based on the summer split, we look better or worse than at MSC as of week three?
Better.
You reckon we look better?
Mm-hmm.
Perfect. Ship it. That's the clip we're using for the trailer. Yep. There we go. Nailed it. Don't need you to explain yourself. Okay, that's exactly okay. What I needed. Yeah. That's the end of the episode. No, I'm kidding. Talk me through that. Why do you think that we look better now?
So there is two sides to this. Number one, there is the current state of the LCK and also some of the signs that the LCK teams are showing that makes it me very hopeful about the future of the LCK, when I say future, by the end of the summer split. So I say we because I associate quite heavily with the LCK, mm-hmm. but the four LCK teams, T1, Genji, Diamond Gaming, and DragonX, none of them made it past quarterfinals. And, you know, even Genji, when they have made it to quarterfinals, their loss at that stage was pretty decimating. Brutal. But when we review the matches, a lot of the criticism, even though the criticisms do not always reflect the actual gameplays, are, you know, LCK teams may have played a bit too passively. Maybe they weren't ready to pull out the meta tier 1 picks, such as at that time Varus and Thresh, you know. Mm-hmm. Genji, even though the first game against Tess was a blind pick, they did not opt to go with Varus and Thresh.
Lula hates Lethality Varus, right? Isn't that a thing? He mm-hmm. just really doesn't like Lethality Varus. He was a god at the lethal tempo Varus, but the poke version, I think Lula just hates. I think it's just a thing that he personally doesn't like.
Yeah, it is quite interesting because when I looked at his solo queue, you know, history, he was playing a bit of a Varus, so perhaps it was a team-wide decision not to play Varus, perhaps he was ruler, you know, I have no insight, you know, it would be a private thing to the team, but that was the overall conversation, and the bigger background ongoing narrative is that even though LCK has the capable individual players, as well as the system to nurture good teams, we tend to play too rigidly, that we are a bit too slow on catching up on the meta and discovering, proactively discovering new picks, and also playing faster, playing with more skirmishes, playing with more risk, which is what the current meta ever since the 2018 Worlds rewards.
Yeah.
And it does seem like the MSC defeat has impacted a lot of the LCK teams, as the four teams especially that attended MSC, most notably Diamond Gaming and DRX, have changed up their playstyle quite drastically to be more aggressive, to be more skirmish-oriented, and to proactively look for new picks, such as, you know, I can mention DRX Chobi, who have been pulling out a million different picks, such as mid lane Gragas, mid lane Morgana. And when I, through interviews, talk to the individual players in those teams, they have mentioned to me, yes, we have reviewed ourselves after the MSC results. Yes, we believe that we have something to learn from the LPL. Yes, you know, perhaps that we should be changing our playstyle. And I will say that because of the changes, the LCK teams look a bit stronger at this current point of time, the third week of the summer split. That's one thing, but another thing is because they are trying out this new playstyle, and I do realize that there are some rough edges to smoothed down. You know, some of the macro decisions aren't as perfect as before because they're not used to skirmishing so much. But if you, it's like a muscle. Like, you know, if you keep using that muscle, you're going to strengthen it. And LCK is flexing this new muscle, you know, playing with more risk that they haven't necessarily flexed as much as they could before. And if they start now, by the week 10 of LCK, maybe they would have trained themselves and perhaps...
Yeah. And actually, I'm really glad that you brought that up because I feel like Damwon and DRX, the reason why they're performing so well right now is they were already flexing that muscle, you know, doing some pretty insane things. It was sort of like they were torn between the two metas, right? And do you sort of agree with what Ashley said?
It was kind of sad to watch.
It was pretty brutal.
We didn't really know what to expect. We knew there were good LPL teams. Obviously, Top Esports and JDG were the two teams that a lot of people were looking at and saying, oh man, those are, you know, they're really, really good, especially after seeing the finals between the two of them. And I thought it was going to be a lot closer. I didn't think it was going to be a smackdown. And I'm sure the Korean teams felt the same way. So they came in, they had their kind of rigid meta, and they were like, oh, we can just play our game, we'll probably win. And then when you get smacked down that hard, that's really when you begin to change, because... if it's just like, oh, it was a close defeat, maybe we should improve our, you know...
make less mistakes.
Yeah, make less mistakes with the same meta and the same picks and everything. That's when you don't, you know, no real change happens and then you lose at Worlds, right? So
yeah.
I think actually getting smacked down at Embassy was good for the region because it means that it's a wake-up call for moving into Worlds and saying, okay, now we need to change it up. We need to get really good at this new style and... the Korean teams are all very capable. They have some really amazing players, and I'm sure they can eventually learn to be the best at the style. And I think we'll only really get to know once again once we have another international tournament. It's really unfortunate that this year, you know, kind of is everything has to be separated,
yeah,
and everything's remote, separate. And there's like less of everything it feels like, but more international tournaments, more... testing of the different regions, I feel like, would be useful for everybody.
Yeah, it's absolutely. I want to. So we are going to touch on that again. We're going to have a look at some power rankings and get a bit upset. But before that, I just want to go back to the whole trying new style and playing aggressively, because I think that it really interests me, that whole point, because like Korean solo queue is crazy, like. Players will go for plays that are just insane, you know? Like, Korean solo queue is still seen as something that is just a display of sick mechanics, right? So all of our players can play that style. I think they do have that muscle, but I feel like using that on stage is something that it's like you need to allow the accelerator to go down that far. It's like they're a go-kart, but they're stuck at 40 and they need to be able to get to 60, you know? Like, and they need to have, like, that sort of limiter taken out. I don't know whether this analogy is coming over okay, but maybe Ian's going to help out with a diagram or two. I'm not entirely sure. But, and I also, like, we have the luxury based on geography of being able to scrim LPL teams. I think the LCK is pretty lucky that the LPL is the team that is the region, that has been dictating what the meta is because they have been the best for so long.
Yeah.
Ashley, I guess I'll start with you. Do you think that, is it about the LCK team's sort of pride and not accepting that they're not the best yet? And maybe they're thinking like, we've made mistakes, but our style is actually the best. And do you think MSC might have changed that? Because I think this is the first time we've truly seen the shift to aggressive style.
There is, I wouldn't necessarily say pride and maybe reach back to two things. Number one, the history of the LCK. LCK has dominated the international scene for a majority part of the history of League of Legends.
Oh, absolutely.
And they have done so ever since, especially when Samsung White, you know, pretty much decimated that entire world using that, completely like suffocating the other team with the vision. LCK teams won again and again and again, focusing on macro, reducing their mistakes. It was more about, like, you know, controlling the map and team fighting when they need to. And even when that style no longer worked, it's again going back to the muscle memory. Even when you tell yourself, hey, I should be using this muscle when you're exercising.
Yeah,
your body kicks in and say, hey, this is something that was proven in trial to me, and you keep falling back. And another thing that we have to notice about the LCK is extremely competitive.
Yeah.
Let's say that looking at the LEC, even though G2 isn't dominating LEC as much this split, G2 was known as this team that experimented, you know, tried out new picks. You know, sometimes they will pick out a Garen top and lose, and that was fine because G2 had the confidence they'll still come out top of the rankings. In LCK, teams don't have that luxury to flex their muscles, try out different things, mm-hmm. because any team, pretty much any team, can make it to the playoffs. Even in the summer split, I pretty much believe that is the case, you know, and only three teams out of I saw your face.
I'm thinking back to the Sandbox first victory last night as Yamato makes his debut. Is it time for the dream run? And Ashley's saying that it's possible.
And
we can clip that bit as well. Completely out of context. There we go. There's the clickbait. Ashley says that Yamato can go on the 100% run.
I did want to add to what you were saying in terms of that like G2 confidence to kind of like do whatever they want and still have confidence to win or lose and then eventually still get first. I feel like we do have two teams now in summer that are slowly developing that mentality. Mm-hmm. And I think it is DRX and Damwon. As you talked about Chovy, basically playing whatever he wants, like stuff he's had success with in solo queue. You know, Morgana mid once again, trying to really mix it up. Lots of different picks down in the bottom lane for Karia. We're seeing a new kind of era of support meta because of guys like Karia and Beryl, who's also coming in for the side of Damwon and has made a
Beryl
big name
needs
for himself.
That mention, man, he's super.
He's
good.
So good. It's crazy. And I think those are the two teams that are actually doing it. T1 and Gen.G have just unbelievable muscle in the players that they have. The veterans and the experience and also just the mechanics. They're all just so amazing. So like they. And I think they have like a more rigid kind of environment in the team house as well. Just my feeling, you know, I've never visited the team house and seen what is going on there with the coaches or anything like that. I just get that sense that they're a little bit more like stuck, whereas DRX and Damwon are given a little bit more freedom to experiment, and they're winning all the time. So they're getting more and more confident. So they're kind of pushing that, and that's kind of giving them the edge right now.
I find that super interesting because you talk about like freedom and all that sort of stuff, and yeah, CV Max certainly feels like it's a weird kind of freedom, right? Because CV Max gets his idea of how the meta works. Sometimes it's beautiful, sometimes it's not, but at the moment it is definitely working out. I want to talk about Zephyr a little bit because Damwon look amazing and their drafting looks amazing. I mean, we had the pleasure of commentating their most recent match and
it's always fun.
Yeah,
it's always new and interesting.
They dismantled their opponent's strategy in like every way possible. And like that game number one where it was the Aphelios came out and then they had like long range poke and backline dive at the same time in one composition. Like
worked really well together as well. Like they had the perfect, like I don't know if they could have drafted better.
It was
in that game.
Extraordinary. And we don't get to talk about that when it comes to Zephyr's drafting for quite some time. And I think that this is, I don't know, it's a really cool redemption arc for him, but also maybe it might be just the players have come to realize that we weren't taking inspiration from the right areas, and maybe this is the time where we're truly going to embrace like sort of that aggressive style. Do you have any insight at all or an opinion on this?
I can offer two insights. Number one, I did an interview with Beryl, which should be out by the time this podcast is also out. But
good timing.
Perfect.
He did reference that. He did say that he is referencing a lot of the LEC or LPL or even LEC teams that he watches other leagues a lot, and then he believes that those other regions are one step faster in discovering like new picks that are appropriate for the meta. He mentioned that, you know, Volibear jungle, I've seen it get picked in LEC many times, so I don't know why Korea was slow on that. You know, even last year's last split's jungle Pantheon, we got the inspiration from G2. And I watched the Ivan game from Mad Lions, a game from LEC, well, like very interested in that game. So he is actively taking inspiration from the other regions, which is super cool to see. And it seems that there is more confidence in the players of Damwon Gaming, especially in Showmaker.
Yeah. Showmaker currently, I think at this point in time, has an account that's 200 LP ahead of second place, and also has another account in fourth on the Korean solo queue ladder. I was talking to Widit about this. Widit had this like beautiful insight. It's like, as soon as you get to that level, it's really hard to stop winning, because as soon as someone sees you in their lobby, they're like, oh baby, free win, let's go. Okay. And everyone's like super inspired and incredibly confident, because they just know that this guy is going to win. And so he just keeps winning. And he's like, last week he was first and third, first and second at one point, but first and third. But he was only 100 LP ahead on his first place account. That only keeps going up. It's insane. And it just shows that like that sort of confidence in your teammates is really, really important, because Damwon were having basically a for fun series and won their games in 24 minutes and 30 minutes. Like, they smashed. Like, and we don't get to see this all that often, right? Like, the absolute utter confidence that you just have a better idea of the game than your opposition. The LCK was always very like, we're all doing basically the same thing, and even if it's Jin Air versus T1, you could go to 96 minutes and we have to change the game based on that, so that never happens again. I mean, that wasn't that long ago that literally happened, which is like a top of the table team, and Jin Air weren't, you know, they weren't about to get relegated in that particular season, but they weren't great either. And that feels like the Damwon series, even though it was an utter smashing, having a team show that they have better understanding of the meta to that level, I think is really inspiring to like lots of other teams as well. So I think it's actually really important that, you know, they're asking the questions like, is he allowed to do that? Like, what's going on here, you know? Yeah.
And yes, why can't I play support Pantheon? I said it was good like 3 weeks ago, you know?
Yeah,
I'm sure some of the players are thinking that way.
There's actually the quote of Showmaker, like, while I think Lava was doing something very strange on the top side of the map, like, Showmaker was saying in Korean, like, is he allowed to do that? Like, what's happening here? What's going on? And it does show that Damwon knew something that Hanwha Life didn't. And yes, they're at very opposite ends of the standings, but that has been different. I don't necessarily know what my point is or my question is, but I think it's cool.
We're pretty hyped about Damwon right now.
Yeah, that's
very clear. I think pretty much everybody in that lineup is doing really well. Even Ghost, who a lot of the time goes unnoticed, he's doing his job.
He's getting some pogs recently as well,
Carrying sometimes, which he, you know, didn't do too much in spring. So they are a force to be reckoned with right now in the LCK.
So, Ashley, I'm going to put you straight in the deep end. I'm not even going to let you respond to that last question. DRX versus Damwon is happening next week. Who wins?
Oh! you knew that I wasn't going to respond to that question.
What? You have to respond to this question. You're on the spot
I
now.
I talked to both Damwon Gaming and DRX players.
Yeah, but you know, this is about, you can explain it in any way you want. You know, who in your waters, who do you think's going to win?
In my waters?
Yeah. I still don't know what that means, but I say it all the time and people understand what I'm saying.
I'm guessing that's an elaborate metaphor to blood, you know.
No,
you
your
know.
Gut feeling. But
your gut is not water.
No, I mean, it's mostly water. Aren't we mostly water?
Yeah, 70%.
I'm like lettuce. You know, I feel like I'm more water than most people.
You're mostly coffee, I think, actually, based on the amount of coffee you drink. It's like 10% coffee.
That's probably true.
Looking at the current form.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so there are two sides to this thing. Like, you know, if I just purely look at the current form, no. If it's a best of one, I would have actually gone with Damwon Gaming.
Okay.
If it was a best of one. But if it's a best of three, I might actually say DRX. Because
I love that. I'm going to pick it up just for 1 second, because DRX were always known for not having any consistency. And what you're saying right now is that you trust them more to win in a drawn-out series than in a short one. And that makes me really excited as, you know, someone that likes that team.
I think it's going to be an extremely close series, and I'm only giving this a new answer because you forced me to. But because DRX has lost in so many important best of fives, ironically, I think the coaching staff or the players had a longer time to review their own stamina when it comes to a series. So in a way, I think DRX would be prepared to deal with that oncoming, you know, maybe you're tired, maybe you're stressed, maybe you're frustrated. I think Damwon Gaming will be better, DRX will be better prepared for it compared to Damwon Gaming, who have been winning those matches on 2-0.
Yeah.
So, and their first loss came pretty early on in the split. So what if they drop a game and need to reset their mental? Like, what if they realize that they can't just flex on the opponent when it comes to DRX? I don't expect Damwon Gaming to completely flex on DRX. So what if that happens? And what if that, you know, creates a dent on Damwon Gaming's impeccable confidence right now? And what if that becomes a crack?
Brendan, who's going to take it, DRX or Damwon? And give me a little bit of reasoning. Because as I've been listening to you guys talk about this matchup, I've been like, my head has actually been skipping around between the two teams. I'm still not fully decided.
It's really difficult. It's hard to say. I think you could vote for either team and probably be comfortable in your decision at this point. There's a lot of great matchups. Chovy versus Showmaker is obvious, but I think the one that I'm going to be looking at the most is Karia versus Beryl. Ooh, yeah. Because I have been public about my adoration of Karia's play and how good he is as a support, calling him the best support in the world and how amazing he is. But Beryl is this up-and-comer now who is like...
Beryl has the most points in the league.
That throne.
Equal with BDD. It's crazy.
In my mind, at least. Karia was already sitting on the throne. But that is, you know, you think about the bottom lane, you say Deft and Karia should win against Ghost and Beryl.
Yep.
But can Beryl somehow carry? And this is just talking about individual skill, right? Top lane, I think Damwon have the win there. Nuguri seems to be the best top laner in the world, or not in the world, in the LCK right now.
Yep.
Don't know about the world. I think it's, you know, a little bit too much to say that.
I think
right
people
now
might be arguing that Kanna's looking really good at the moment as well, but I think Nuguri's unique style does put him ahead, and plus is very consistent with how he wins games, not lanes.
Yeah. And so just thinking about the individual matchups, I think there's kind of evenness in the mid lane. I think the jungle is very interesting. You were talking about how you thought maybe Canyon could win over Pioshik. I think that Pioshik is improving a lot recently. Is it enough improvement on time to go into Canyon on next week is a big question. So what I'm saying right now is, like, it seems pretty even in terms of the players. I think the draft edge, though, should go to Damwon after multiple showings of their understanding of the meta seems to be really on point, and they have weird picks that is not easy to handle for many teams. Nuguri's playing all sorts of weird stuff. Obviously, Beryl is the most obvious one there for that team. And the way they dismantled Hanwha Life. I mean, Hanwha Life, to be honest, kind of did make it easy for them. Yep. And it was kind of like, you know, you're drafting against someone who is a lot less experienced than you. I would, though, still have to give the draft edge to Damwon, and I think that might push them over the edge. I would say, if I had to make a decision, 2-1 Damwon, but it's going to be really close.
Oh no, Valdis, you abandoned Karia.
Yeah, sorry. I abandoned Karia.
You abandoned Karia.
But it won't be his fault. He'll carry, and then someone else is going to mess it up, probably.
So for a bit more context, Valdis mentioned on his cast a few times that, you know, he does think Karia is best support in the world right now. I'm just quoting you.
Yeah.
And
sure, I said it.
You love these absolute lines, right? Like, I got that absolute line. I'm going to use it every time. Hell yeah.
But, and recently I organized Valdis to have a very short but very wholesome conversation with Karia.
Mm-hmm.
And Karia was really shy. And afterwards he went home to say on the stream that we had a good conversation and he was God in English. There wasn't nice.
Carry a god of English as well.
Yeah, he went on a stream and said,
is that
yeah,
what he said?
Yeah, he said, oh yeah, today at Lopak, I talked to one of the English casters. He was really handsome and had small head.
Because that's like a thing you remember, right?
Yep, yep. Yeah, yeah. And, you know, of course, I'm a god at English, so we had a conversation. Completely just took me out.
I'm glad he's got some confidence, you know? There, apparently, in Carrie's
I love it.
Oh, it's actually really, really cute.
Yeah, it's cute.
Well, we're glad you were there, because I heard there were some audio issues that did screw things up, but thankfully, Ashley had a redundancy, so we managed to get that one on the internet. Beautiful stuff. Do we need to? I'm the host. Do I have to have an opinion, or do
yes.
you guys?
Yeah, want to hear what you want to say.
He just pushed us into corners and forced that questions.
That's my job. That's what I gotta
it's
try
the play
and
play by play.
I gotta
you don't
squeeze
have an
opinion. You.
You just make the analysts make the decisions and the opinions.
All right. Well, I'll put on my analyst hat. I agree entirely with what you were saying, Valdez. I think that Carrier and Beryl are the two best supports in the LCK, but I also agree with the fact that Carrier is looking like the best support in the world at the moment. He is just incredibly mechanically skilled. It's really, do we say that we've got the best two? Because Beryl's also, like, especially recently, been performing extraordinarily well. That bottom lane, however, should go to DRX, because I think that the AD carry difference mm-hmm. is Deft favored. I don't think anyone's going to argue that. Deft has been beating Ghost for like the last 4 years and pretty comfortably in other teams. Ghost right now, though, is the perfect role player, right? The bottom lane just needs to hide. Like, if they get Senna or Ezreal, I think that Damwon just win.
Just let Beryl roam.
No, exactly.
You remember his...
I mean, this is what G2 did literally last night. They just, like, they had their support. I mean, they lost that game, unfortunately.
Lost.
But the idea was they put their sub on Senna, and then we can use Mickey to carry as Wukong or something like that, you know? And I think a lot of the mistakes weren't about necessarily how that particular draft played out. I think there was some certain dragons that got stolen when they probably shouldn't have.
Some flashes into the wall.
Yeah, some flashes into the wall. DRX wins through their bottom lane. Damwon wins through anywhere other than their bottom lane. And I think that Canyon versus Pjosic is going to be what makes the difference. Mm-hmm. I think Doran's okay. I don't think he's up to Noggery, but Noggery wins by winning team fights, much like what Deft does from the bottom side of the map, right? So you can think about it, knocking that over again. You can think about that as sort of like the sort of mirrored idea. So they sort of cancel each other out as far as those extra strengths, but the jungle doesn't cancel each other out.
Mm.
And I think that the consistency of Canyon has been just pretty impressive over the last few games. He hasn't been playing that much crazy stuff, but he demonstrated that the Fiddlesticks could come out and he could just...
Seven games of Trundle or something?
Yeah, it's a massive amount of Trundle. It's a massive amount of Trundle. But his Fiddlesticks was very impressive. And we know that Canyon can play a lot of other things. Mm-hmm. Even his Lee Sin was looking pretty good as we saw it. He was playing aggressively, much like Damwon just generally do. And I think, like, the really cool thing about this matchup is that mid-jungle is, like, super exciting at the moment. Like, mid-jungle looking at a whole lot of different teams, even Faker Cuz, Faker Ellen, like, this whole sort of, like, dynamic of which jungler are we going to get. But Pjosic Chovy versus Canyon Showmaker is so cool. That is such a cool matchup. But I think at the moment, the Showmaker factor is a little bit too strong. So I think I'm going to have to give it to Damwon as well.
Thankfully, LS isn't here, otherwise he'd smack you and write down the pog vote for Chovy, even though we're not even casting.
Yeah, exactly right. No, I mentioned someone being good at Lee Sin, and then say that they're going to win. Like, that's what I just did. Real hard.
Pjosic believes that there are two top tier jungler champions right now, and in Pjosic's opinion, that's Trundle and Lee Sin.
Interesting.
He likes Lee Sin.
I mean, there's quite a few of our players that
there's
like Lee Sin.
There's a lot of people
we have, like,
love Lee Sin, especially into Trundle as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, we don't care about your pillar. We're just going to jump over it.
Mm-hmm.
You can't control us. We're too mobile.
Throw cues through it, that sort of thing. Yeah. I don't know. I think it's going to be very close, whatever happens. DRX, they got through a very, very difficult first week. Taking down both Genji and T1. Damwon weren't capable of doing that. Did manage to take down T1, weren't able to topple Genji. So, I don't know. You can't look at the, like, you can't look at how things have been going throughout the rest of the league and understand how that matchup's going to go, but it's really exciting. Yeah. Okay, well, I think we've spoken about Derex versus Damwon enough. Do you have one thing to add, Ashley? Is that what you looked like you were champing at the bit a little bit, like yeah. ready to get in there.
No, it's okay.
No, we're okay.
No, it's okay. I'm really excited. I hope he goes to 3 games. That's all I have to say.
Mm, okay, good.
Yeah, if it's a blowout 2-0, that would be
oh
so
my
disappointing.
God.
That would be
no.
so dumb one, wouldn't it?
It has to be so a 3-game, and one of them has to be your backdoor. That's all I'm...
Needs to be Noggery yeah. on Rise again, like popping know. His Seraph's Embrace yeah. and killing an Nexus.
I don't care which way, but I really want a 3-game series, and I want one of them to be a backdoor. Okay. That's all I'm asking for.
A backdoor to get DRX back into the series, and then they win game 3? Oh my god, that would be pretty hype. So I did mention that we were going to talk about some power rankings. ESPN did release some power rankings. I felt like we should discuss them. I personally think that power rankings at the moment are insane. I don't think you can actually do them. The last time we saw any teams play was the World Championship on an international stage, right, where we've got everyone playing against one another. The next international tournament was MSC, but that was just China and Korea, so we didn't get to see where anybody else stacked up. So many teams have changed so much. With that being said, let's go over what this looks like. I believe Ian can put that one up on the screen for us. Ashley, what's your opinion on power rankings at the moment? I just stated mine. I'm not supposed to have one, but I just stated it pretty aggressively.
Why is Damwon Gaming not there? Where is B5? Why is FPX there? Why aren't their LPL teams higher?
Yep, there
just
we go.
Jumped right in.
Yeah, that's. I mean, I was talking about just power rankings in general, yeah. but we've gone straight into tearing it apart. Valdez, I guess we can have your opinion on exactly the teams on this list, because as I haven't been able to follow very closely the LEC, LCS, LPL. Like, I watch games when I can, right? But otherwise, I'm going to bed so I can wake up and come back to LoL Park and do this again. I'm even looking at the LCK teams that are on this list wondering what the heck they're doing so high. You know? Like, I don't know. Like, DRX are doing very well in the league at the moment, but are they going to be better than everyone else? Like,
yeah, well, it depends on, you know, every power ranking list should come with like a disclaimer of like thoughts from the authors, right? Like a footnote where it's like, by the way, the reason, or not the reason, but like this was my criteria for why I picked the teams, right? Because for us, I look at this list and I'm trying to like decipher what the idea is, why they're picking these certain teams, and why I disagree with so many of them, and how someone can have a totally different, you know, idea and opinion about it. And you were just talking about, you know, like DRX right now is looking really good, but are they going to go to Worlds? Do they deserve to, you know, take the number 2 spot right now? And it says like June 29th, right? Which is kind of interesting. I think that was the second week of
end
LCK.
Of the second week, I think. Yeah. Something like that.
Around that time. So I think just in general, after the 2 weeks, we should have Damwon on this list. The fact that they're not is just a total oversight. I don't see how that's possible. We were just going on for like an hour talking about how good Damwon are and how they might defeat DRX. I think 2 out of us were predicting them to win that match up against, you know, apparently number 2 on the list. They should be on the list. They should be probably top 5, I'd say. I don't know if T1 should be that high after getting smacked down by Damwon, you know, like, and again, that's why it all depends on, you know, the author's opinions on, you know, why do they select these teams? Is it about like how they're looking right now, or is it, you know, their potential for succeeding this year at Worlds, or, you know, who they think is going to be the best by the end of the year after Worlds, right? Like, there's so many different angles you can take. And as you were mentioning, which I totally agree with, doing power rankings right now, it's so impossibly hard. Yeah. Like, I think a lot of people will look at the list and see C9 as 5th and just laugh, right? They'll be like, I mean, it's NA, right? You know, like, how can they possibly, you know, be ahead of Gen G or G2 or JDG, right? Or any, you know, any of the other lanes that are below them just in the top 10, not to mention below that. And just laughed. And, you know, it's hard because when we look at the different regions and we try to like give them different, you know, levels and stuff and say, well, C9 looks really good against these teams that don't look very good.
Yeah.
You might want to rank them lower, but maybe we get to a world stage and they perform really well and we just didn't really get the true feeling of how good C9 are because we haven't had enough international tournaments. Well, we just don't have enough research and data to make good decisions on a list, which just makes it so frustrating every time I see a list.
It's so hard because everything has a frame of reference within their own region, right? The only time, the most recent time that we've had a frame of reference for all of the regions was 2019 Worlds, right? And so in theory, that means that in that sort of plane, I guess you can say that the LPL is the best and the LCK is probably third and LEC is going to be second.
Yeah.
And that means that having an LEC team sitting at fourth on the power rankings is just wrong because the frame of reference states that the best team in Europe should be better than the best team in Korea based on the last fact that we had, which was LPL, LEC, LCK.
That's our last data point on Europe versus Korea.
Yeah.
But that data point is
so irrelevant.
It's expired. Like, it doesn't matter, you know? Like, so it's just like an exercise in madness where you're like, you know, I'm sure ESPN, they say, hey, guys, make a ranking. Yep. And then the guys who have to do it are like, well, I mean, I hope I don't get massacred on Twitter. And then, you know, inevitably they do just because there's so many different things to talk about that we just went over that can give, you know, give 10 different teams of authors making a list and you're going to have 10 totally different lists that don't look much like each other at all with, you know, maybe some common teams up towards the top. And
it's nutty.
It's just so, it's so difficult. Like, I don't know. I don't envy them at all.
From like a journalistic, purely journalistic and content creator approach, I do like having some kind of power rankings because I believe they start discussions between the fans of different teams and also between the fans of different region. Of course, there are some people disagreeing, as always, as I agree with Valdis's point right here. It is almost impossible to do power rankings at the current situation in time, especially when the leagues are so isolated. But just by having C9 fan, let's say an LCS fan who is interested in C9, think about DRX and think about Gen.G, and maybe have a Mad Lions fan and the LEC think about, you know, TESS. I think it's a really good starting conversation for cross-pollination between the regions. So, yeah, I think that even though there can be some, you know, I wouldn't say pitfall, but let's say there can be some limitations to power rankings just because how isolated leagues are at the moment.
Yeah.
I think they're beneficial.
Yeah. I like the idea for starting a conversation, and I actually think that we've fallen into the trap pretty beautifully, right? This is what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to sit around and you're supposed to start arguing about an arbitrary list that's impossible to prove until we get to the end of the year when all of these sort of like the standings, which this is based on, are completely irrelevant because, you know, T1's probably back at the top of LCK because it's an inevitability that we've gotten used to. Mm. Like, all these sorts of things have sort of been rearranged, readjusted, and this power ranking list right now is irrelevant. But, like, I think that you're right. I think that it was an absolute bait, by the way, putting, like, three LPL teams on the list and having 9th and 10th. As like two of them, TES should be number one, right? They've proven that they look extraordinarily dominant.
Just looking like it right now.
Yeah. I think that team looks very, very impressive. I was getting excited about them when they were beating up on Gen.G, and that's not something that was very easy for me to do. But you see, good League of Legends, and I'm clicking that upvote button. You know, like it's just real nice to see them play, and I think that they're demonstrating how to play League of Legends at the moment. But putting JDG and FPX on the list, for one, is, I don't know whether I agree with that. And putting them at 9th and 10th, I think, is pretty insulting for the best region in the world.
Yeah, I don't think it was a bait. I think it simply, again, comes back to how different people think
different regions.
Some people might say, hey, Worlds results might should factor in a lot. Other people might say, hey, I want to look at the stats. Other person say, hey, I want to go with my analyst's gut feeling as I watch all the games. So it really depends on what the criteria is, and no one can judge another person's criteria.
Okay, yeah. So I want you guys in the comments, if you're watching on YouTube, get into the YouTube comments, get down there, tell us what you think is wrong with this power rankings list. Boy. Remember that it is not about ESPN being jerks or being silly. I think this is fantastic to start the discussion. Completely agree with Ashley's point. But we want to hear your opinion, and we know that you have one. I know that you're super mad that Fnatic isn't on this list, all right? So... Where's TSM? I can't see a TSM on this list. Yeah. So I want to see how angry you guys are at both of those points and more, if there are more that you have. I mean, where's 100 Thieves? Papa Smithy like down the bottom, like, come on, man.
Yeah, I mean, you were mentioning ESPN. I would never get angry at ESPN for making a list like this because it's an incredibly smart decision on a business standpoint.
Let's talk about it.
This is going to drive so many views and so much discussion, so much interaction with your Twitter, your website,
with other people's podcasts,
with, you know, maybe people will mention it on Cast, maybe they'll reference it a lot. It'll just drive so much.
Stay tuned to the LCK Sunday night.
we were talking about like making lists and baiting and stuff like this. I agree with Ashley. I don't think there's too much baiting going on. I just think it will, you know. There's a lot even that we can go into if we had another couple of hours where we could just like dissect the list and drive the knife into the heart of it and really try to break it down. But I think I would definitely disagree with a lot of it, you know, as a lot of people will. So, you know, the list did its job, essentially. Yeah. So
I think like on a personal level, it's really weird because I look at the list and I'm like, oh, it's so wrong. But also... in my heart of hearts, sort of agree with the top two, like at the moment.
Double Gaming.
I think DRX do have the potential to be better. Because I think in a world where the meta is going to be played around an 80 carry, the best way to do that is to have Deft on your team.
Yeah. Also, this was made again at the end of week two.
Yeah, right.
I think Damwon versus T1 was on Wednesday of week three. So they didn't have this information. They had to create the list probably before the Sunday that it was released as well, so they probably had maybe a week and a half of the
and they had
information from just the LCK and less information from the other regions as well to to decide, and maybe Damwon kind of slipped through the cracks.
Well, if they're going to make another one, they're probably going to put Damwon on that list.
I guarantee it.
Especially after this
week.
Unless they get absolutely dominated by DRX and then it's going to knock them down a little bit or something. Yeah. But these are things that can stay super fluid. I think there's almost a world where it'd be really cool to have this like fluid power rankings that could just always be getting updated based on all of these results and things like that. It's like you've got this way of calculating what a power ranking looks like because you test this against this and this sort of stuff. It's impossible to do it inter-region, absolutely. But if you say that like the LPL is the best region, LEC is the second best, LCK is the best after that, then you can sort of like gauge it based on how good things are based on the median of the league and
arbitrary point system. Standard
deviations away based on how much further up this has to be based on the first, second, five third, head. Fourth. Like,
that's not how standard deviation works, but sure.
I am nothing. I've forgotten more mathematics than I ever learned. I guarantee that. 32 years old, I studied math for a very long time, and I promise I've forgotten 98% of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why we try to avoid math on the Cast.
Yeah, I've embarrassed myself a lot, actually. Did you know I studied engineering?
What?
At university, I did.
Okay.
That was many moons ago.
Right.
Thanks, Ashley.
Sorry.
After the show, if you could teach me about standard deviations, that'd be super good. I didn't pay much attention in stats, I guess. But guys, I think we're towards the end of this episode. I think we're running out of time, actually. Like, Ashley's got to get to work. We're in the press room of LOL Park right now. And we're gonna wrap up the show and then immediately
get to work.
Ashley's just going to be like, well, better stay here then. Guess I'll wait for the first game, something like that. Unless, unless we're going to take some time off, grab some lunch, something like that, which we definitely do.
I might do that.
The dream. Nice. You were going to say something, Ashley?
I'm just looking at the wall, and every match, after a match, the victory team walks out of that corridor, walks into that the door, says bows and says hello, and we start taking photos. And sometimes I take videos, and sometimes I take photos.
Yeah,
that happens twice every day. I'm just thinking about all that. That's all. I can kind of see the ghost players almost, because this is where they always stand. Not like, you know, in a figure eight speech, you know.
Yeah, no, I understand. It's like you're now the one sitting here, and it feels like it's the roles have been weirdly reversed.
Mm-hmm.
I can see the poetry. I can see it. Okay. I like it. But thanks again, Ashley, just for all that you do for the LCK, because it really is something that I think is really important. Humanizing the players, I think, is really cool. It's something that you mentioned about perks earlier on in the show, and I think being able to bring the personalities to either the Korean viewers or the Western audience when it comes to all of our players here. Like, imagine if, you know, we didn't have interviews with Noguri, and you just see him there. And you don't understand that he is this boisterous, crazy person. Like, you can see it kind of represented in his gameplay, but you don't necessarily know that that's the kind of person that he is. So I think it's really important to humanize so that we can, you know, form attachments to these guys and make them into the superstars they deserve to be, right?
Yeah. And in the end, humans, like, I think I've said this in another conversation with you before, but humans have empathy in their DNA. Humans have evolved to feel empathy to people around them, to people that they think are near. And how do you do that? I'm not talking about the Hana Life Esports top laner, sorry. You have to paint the other person as a human. And even when their performance is amazing, when you see the human side, you know, when you see Faker crying, when you realize that Noguri is genuinely happy about his gameplay. When you talk to Carrier and you realize that he's not just a rookie, but he's shy and he can be a little, like, bubbly or stumbly sometimes, and then he really, really wants to win worlds. That's when you fall in love with the players, and that's what makes an interested fan become a dedicated fan to a league. So that's what I want to do with my interviews.
Well, it's working so far, because you're exactly right. You've got to humanize, and you've got to make sure that, like, there's a lot of people that have empathy but can't use it when it comes to leagues like this. I think the LPL is an example. Like, there are a lot of players that are, like, super cool that there have been loads of interviews with, but a lot of them don't get translated and don't get seen, and you don't get to see all of these amazing personalities that are over there, and therefore you don't have that opportunity to use the empathy at all, right? So what you're doing is finding that common ground, finding that opportunity to allow people to relate to these players. And be it Carrier, who is very sort of subdued and shy, and I know there's a lot of people out there that are also subdued and shy, so they're going to like, oh, he's just like me, this is so cool, I can relate, therefore fandom grows. Or you can have, like, someone like me who's super obnoxious. I see Noguri and I'm like, oh my god, there's another one, this
my
is
best
brilliant
friend.
And so, like, I think, like, creating those opportunities is really important.
It's funny, Noguri is one of those players that I have to time my interviews really meticulously, because he sometimes does speak in very, very long sentences.
I feel like you'd only need, like, two questions and you could fill 25 minutes.
Yeah, as long as he feels like it.
Yeah. And thanks again to you as well, Valdez, for coming on the show. It's really good that we've got such a fantastic fill-in if LS does have landlord issues. Make sure that if you're not subscribed already to the YouTube channel, you just give that a little bit of subscribe, like the video. If you enjoyed it, leave a comment. Let us know about your power rankings and who that would be. The more trolley, the better, because that's going to create more traction and more people are going to care about it, which is absolutely brilliant. Remember, you can check this out on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. If you skip to the end for some reason and still want to listen to it and you're about to get in your car and drive, don't watch the YouTube video. Get the podcast, get the audio version. We don't want you to crash. It's completely irresponsible. Wear a seatbelt, wash your hands, and ask a friend if they're okay as well. There's a whole lot of things that you can do just as a general life check, but I'm just waffling because it's the end of the show. So thank you so much for watching, and we'll see you for episode 12 coming up in a couple of weeks.